From Nakamixon Media and Siren Records, this is Chloe and the Rex, where we explore all the music you don't know about, but should.
All right. Hey, guys. I'm back. Fortunately, I didn't get in any trouble for the weird discount thing I said last time, but I'm not going to do that again. I don't care how drunk I am. I'm not saying it. Maybe I will. I don't know. Who knows? I'm drinking right now. So, I'm super excited because I got my, okay, so remember I told you the last time or time before that I've been taking this vet assistant class here. We had the final on Tuesday, and I just got my grade back tonight, and I passed with flying colors, like rainbow flying colors. Like, I did so well, and I'm really proud of myself, and I'm just, like, super happy about the whole thing, so I'm in a really good mood right now. And the clinical portion starts Monday, and it's for 3 weeks, and I'm like, really excited. I'm a little nervous, but I'm, like, really excited, so... That's what's happening in Chloe Land, in case anyone was wondering. All right, let's get started. So, music stuff. Yeah, I like to do this chronologically. It just makes it easier. I don't have to really think as hard. Otherwise, I'll get all hung up on, like, well, which one's better? Which one should I end on? And, like, no one cares. So, I just do it in order of when it came out. So, I'm going to start with... this one, it's a band called Neon Hearts, and the album is called Popular Music, and it came out in 1979. So the band formed in 1977. They did not last very long because they broke up in 1981. Kind of a bad combination. Well, that was really just the one thing. Because their whatever label they signed to, I forget what it was. I didn't write it down. Their label, like, just sucked. Like, they didn't do anything for them. They didn't listen to the band. They were a bad label. So, yeah, they fucked that up. Anyway, so they're from Wolverhampton. So they're British. Founded by Steve Hart. So he was in this band before Neon Hearts called Suburban Studs. And he left the band because they told him that the sax player was inappropriate for a punk band. And I'm like, fucking tell that to X-Ray Specs, you fucking dicks. Like, come on now. Actually, I think this was, like, before X-Ray Specs was even a thing, but whatever. So these guys were wrong. Suburban Studs, you guys suck. And that's why no one knows who you are. And the other, like, thing of note about them is that their bass player was Paul Raven, and he's most well-known for being in Killing Joke from, like, 82, like, through the rest of the 80s, and, I think he also played in Ministry and Prong, so that's why people know Paul Raven. This sounds nothing like that, by the way. If you're thinking, like, Killing Joke and Ministry, what? This doesn't sound like that at all. It's, like, completely... this is, like, super new wavy pop stuff. And they put out their very first single themselves. And what it got messed up because they told the pressing plant, like, okay, well, we want it on a 7-inch. And they're like, well, the sleeve has to be bigger than 7 inches if it's going to fit a 7-inch single. So they made the sleeve 8 inches, which might not seem like a big deal, but... when it doesn't fit in the 7-inch racks, that's a problem. So they fucked that up. What else? Like I said, their label sucked. They didn't understand that the band was good, and they tried to make them something into what they weren't, and it was just stupid. So, all right. So this is Neon Hearts, and the song is called Popular Music. It's gonna get stuck in your head. You're welcome.
Popular music. girls and popular boys. Hear it on the radio all day. Nothing to do, nothing to say. Tune in to Top 20. Tune in to DJs. Tune in to number one. Great song, popular music is a popular noise.
Now, seriously, tell me that song would be better without the sax, because you're wrong. It wouldn't be. Like, that song is so good. I can't believe it. All right. Shit, I might keep this record for myself. Screw you guys. I'm keeping it. All right, I'm just kidding. Okay. You know what? It's weird. It's like, I don't think I ever actually played this band on here before. And that's surprising. So it's, now hold on, let me get here. So there's this little band called Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Or OMD if you're cool. This is just a single from 1980, and it's the song Enola Gay, which is, like, the best song ever. So the band is from Merseyside, another British band, formed in 1978. These two dudes, Andy McCluskey and Paul Humphreys, the two co-founders. It's them now that they've, like, actually reformed, but there was a period of time where Paul Humphreys was not around, and it was just Andy McCluskey, which is kind of weird, but whatever. So they were in some other bands before OMD, and I wrote them down because I thought some of them were kind of funny. Like, they were in Equinox, Pegasus, Hitler's Underpants, The Id, VCL 11, Dalek, I Love You. And, the VCL1 kind of became OMD, so there's that. And early on in their career, Gary Newman, who's, like, just the best, offered them a supporting act for his first major British tour, so they got to, like, tour with him and open for him, which must have been really fucking cool. And then they returned the favor in the 90s, and they had him open for them on their tour. So that's nice. Alright, so Enola Gay is the song. It's anti-war song. It's the name of the plane that dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. So there's, yeah. It's such a good song. I've always loved it. Like, from the very first time I heard it, it's like, oh my god, it's just like, I don't even know. It's so good. So I'm gonna play it for you and shut up, because I can't say anything else good about it. So here you go. We'll be right back. It doesn't get much better than that, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know. I don't really know what else to say about it. I just love that song, like, so much. I mean, the band is a good band overall, but I guess it was probably the first song I ever heard and kind of, like, fell in love with it. So, all right. Next. I got this. So, confession time. While I was at class tonight, my boyfriend was sitting here going through my records that I have mounded up here and played some stuff and told me which songs were good off of which records. And so I'm just going by his guidelines. Obviously, that last one was just in the pile, and he's like, here's an Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark single, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I don't need him to tell me that the song was good. I already knew that. But this, the last one, I hadn't listened to the rest. I actually want to listen to the rest of that record, because if it's anything like the first song, I really want to hear it. But this one is another one that he listened to and gave me a song to play, and it's pretty good. So this band is interesting. The band is Human Sexual Response, and the album is In a Roman Mood. It came out in 1981. They're from Boston. The band was around from 78 to 82, and they only put out two records. This is the second one. And this was just, like, directly from Wikipedia. I could not stop laughing when I read this, because I'm like, are you fucking serious? It says, Casey Cameron formed an all-kazoo band, Kazoonedheit, with her neighbors. They became fast friends and soon formed an a cappella country and western band called Honey Bee and the Meadow Muffins. Encouraged, the four decided to start a rock band. Oh my god, Kazoonedheit. Like, it's so bad, but also, like, the best thing ever. I'm so conflicted. Honey Bee and the Meadow Muffins? Good lord. So, I don't know what you're thinking. Like, is this going to be kazoos and country? It's none of those things. It's absolutely not any of that. They're, like, cool, new wavy Boston crap. And the song I'm going to play is called Andy Fell. And, it's about a student who committed suicide by jumping off a building or something. And so it's actually pretty sad. So, sorry, bringing it down, but, it's a good song. I liked it. So this is, here you go, Andy Fell.
Dormitory says they feel
the band was Human Sexual Response, and Andy fell off of In a Roman Mood. All right. You know, I was going to do two more, but I think I'm just going to do one more. And also the one band. I really didn't do a lot of research because I got kind of overwhelmed by them. And so I was like, you know, it's like reading. Okay. Whoa. Fuck was that? I didn't even touch anything. I didn't fucking do anything. I was just sitting here looking at my notes. God damn it. Must be a ghost. Alright, my last one I'm going to talk about is The Vapors. And I think I mentioned them on Record Store Day, but I didn't play the song because it was the Turning Japanese single. So The Vapors, significant because they're fucking touring. They're not touring. They're coming to New York. They're playing three shows at the Mercury Lounge in October. October? October. I'm going to one of the shows. They added a third night. It was Saturday and Sunday. They added a Friday because the 2 days, like, sold out so fast. It was crazy. So now they're playing Friday also. I'm so excited. I love this fucking band. I'm not going to play something off my favorite album, which was the first one, Nuclear Days, which has Turning Japanese on it, and it sucks so much because, you know, I do love that song, and it's a catchy song, but it got them labeled as a one-hit wonder, and there's so much more than that. It really bothers me because, like, there's some one-hit wonders where you're like, wow, that's really literally the only good song they ever wrote, and The Vapors are not that band. Nuclear Days is an amazing record all the way through. If you ever see it, just buy it. You'll find it for like a dollar. I probably have said this 1,000 times because I just constantly feel like I need to like tell people this. They're not a one-hit wonder. It is legitimately an amazing record. It's such good like songwriting, power pop. Like it's just so fucking good. I can't, like, I can't, I don't know. Look at me, I can't even fucking say anything. I'm so stupid. Anyway, this is their second record. It's called Magnets, and it came out in 1981. This record is also good. It's not my favorite, clearly, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, it's not as catchy, I guess, maybe. And also just for me, because that was, the other one was the first one I heard, and I listened to it, like, nonstop for, like, 6 months. Just kidding. It wasn't that long, but it was crazy. I bought it. I couldn't stop listening to it. But this one's also really good. So The Vapors, just for some background, are from Guildford. Side note, that's also where the Stranglers are from. Stranglers are my favorite. That's not important, but so Bruce Foxen from The Jam noticed them. They were playing around, and he was like, well, these guys are good. And he decided to manage them alongside of John Weller, which was Paul Weller's dad from The Jam, and also let them open for The Jam on their Setting Suns tour in 1979. So that must have been really awesome for them. So yeah, this is Magnets, and I'm going to play a song. Oops. God damn. Okay. So I'm just going to play the first song. There's some really good songs on here. I really like Daylight Titans is really good, and Spiders, and Isolated Case. But I'm going to play Jimmy Jones because fucking it's Jimmy Jones. Jimmy Jones is a reference to Jonestown Massacre. Jimmy Jones, James Jones, Jim Jones. Reverend Jim Jones. Alright, so anyway. Alright, the album is Magnets, the band is The Vapors, here's Jimmy Jones.
Thank you.
garden with me. Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, 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 and his soul, soul crunch. Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, Jimmy Jones, 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 and his soul, soul crunch. And get you.
So that's the Vapors. I cannot fucking wait to see them. Like, I am so excited. It's so far away. It's been a really long time since I've, like, felt like this about seeing a band. Oh my god. So excited. Also, every time fucking, like, anything about Jonestown comes up, it, like, I have, like, this fucking flashback to, when I took a class at Bucks County Community College, and it was a short stories class. I love short stories. I actually really enjoy reading them. I don't remember why this came up, but our teacher, like, I wanted to like him because I liked the subject material, like, all that stuff, but, like, there were two times that I actually spoke out in that class, and both times he, like, made me feel like I was a fucking moron, and I was right about it. At, like one time, there was something about, I had already taken a short story class, or, like, another writing class before, and I read this thing. This is probably boring to everybody, but I don't care. I'm gonna fucking tell you anyway. It was this thing about, like, why humans are driven towards, like, horror movies and stuff, and it was this thing that Stephen King wrote, and I haven't ever been able to find it since then, and I probably threw away the thing I actually had, but it was very interesting. It was like, it was Stephen King writing about, like, why do people like horror so much? Because it's, like, all these different factors and whatever, and, like, the one thing I remember him saying was, it was like, you know, if you ever feel like being violent towards someone, or you're angry about something, you just, like, watch somebody else carry it out, and it's, like, releases it or whatever, and you don't feel like you actually have to do it or something like that. It was something along those lines. It was more fresh in my mind when I actually took the class, and I said that. I said that in class, and the guy was just like, well, I don't know about that. And I was like, dude, fuck you. Like, Stephen King wrote that. And he's like, yo, okay. He didn't believe me. He didn't fucking believe me. Fucking pompous piece of shit. But then the other thing that really bothered me, and because this song is about Jonestown, he was talking about it like he was some, like, expert on, oh, Jonestown, there's no survivors. And I'm like, actually, there's a book written by a woman who escaped and it's called Seductive Poison. I was like, it's actually a really cool story because she tells, you know, she was a young woman who, you know, got taken in by the whole thing, and she tells it, you know, exactly what happened, and it was very interesting. And he's like, no. That must be something else you read because there were no survivors. Bitch, please. It's real. It's actually a really cool story. My sister gave me the book to read. It's called Seductive Poison. Deborah Layton is her name. She did escape. She was part of the cult and got out. So, fuck you, teacher whose name I can't remember. Booyah. Also, shout out to my friend Brendan, who every time he hears that song, thinks that it's about Jimmy Johns. It is not. It's Jimmy Jones. Oh, good. The train's coming. It's not honking like it normally does. All right. I'm going to stop talking. Thanks for listening. That's my selection. These will be at Siren. I don't know. Whenever I decide to go there, drop them off. Ask Blair for a discount. I'm not going to say anything this time because I don't want to get in trouble. Although, like, what trouble can I actually get in? I don't fucking work there. I'm doing this for fun, man. All right, I'm going to stop talking. Thanks for listening. Hope you liked this stuff. I certainly did. I'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. All right, bye.
Chloe and the Racks is a Knock and Mixing Media podcast recorded live on location at Siren Records and produced by Stay Calm Industries. All songs are property of their respective owners. The intro-outro music is courtesy of Bobby Kennedy. If you like what you hear, please like, comment, review, and share. That's the best thing you can do for us.